The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Everyone's doing good today. Everyone's glad they're here. Everyone's having a good week in Jesus, huh? Jerry said earlier, we're going through stuff. I'll just share real quickly. I am going through some stuff, but I'm still going to praise God through all that we face. Month and a half back up to date, my wife had an operation behind her head. They found a cancerous tumor, took it out. She has a cut behind her head. She's doing fine, thank God. In that prior time as well, some guys passed around my yard and they were teasing my dog, stuck their arm in there and bit his hand. So now this past week, my younger daughter is in the hospital with a disease in her kidney. So pray for Valerie. But anyways, through all that, it doesn't matter. God is in control. We can't go through stuff and smile and praise God. He's going to get all the glory. It doesn't matter. He will always get the glory. We need to face these trials like Paul said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. We need to praise God through all we're facing right now, friends. I know all of you in this room, young and old, we're all going through something. Personal, physical, financial, you name it. And I love this theme on the home team. It is the home team. We are a team in your home. Even if you live alone in a house, you're not alone. Jesus is with you and so is the Holy Spirit. I always call my wife and say, what are you doing, honey? Because she stays home when I go to work. I go, who's there? Just me and Jesus. So you're never alone. Christ is with you. And if you have a big home like I was raised in, there's a lot of trauma there and a lot of drama as well. Jesus is there too in the mix. Amen? I will be reading out of John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 9 through 13. I want to jump right into this so we can get through this safely. Who knows what will happen up here. John chapter 15, verse 9. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. I don't know what Bibles you guys have, or you can read it up there on the screen. It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you would abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for Remnant Church, God. Bless us here with your presence. Your Holy Spirit, fill this place. Father, help us to catch something fresh, something new, something that could give us a light breeze, a light wind, Father, to lift us up and encourage us to keep plowing forward, God, through all the things we go through, the trials and tribulations, the joyous times and the bad times. Father, I can think of Mississippi right now, God. All those people in need right now with the floods going on over there. I pray that you would help those in time of need. Just be with them, meet their needs, God, that these people can be moved out safely, Father, to higher ground. So thank you, God, that you're in that too, God. In the midst of all trials and tribulations, you're in the middle of our storms. You are always there, God, and we thank you for the great things you're going to do in our lives. We love you and trust you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story of I like opening up with stories to kind of open it up, maybe keep you awake. Story of two boys, a man growing up with a friend, a best friend. All their life growing up, one friend told the other friend, I will always be there for you. Always call me when you need anything. You can count on me. I will be there for you. I am your best friend. Whatever you're going through, call me and I will come to help you. So time goes on. Of course, the man grows up. They separate lives. They go on their own trails in life. And the man grows up very violent, pretty rough home. Goes through a lot of stuff. Becomes a man. He just has a lot of issues in his life. Everything's going kind of bad and rough. Not good. So one day he's speeding down the road and the cop pulls him over. writes him a ticket, he tosses it, does it again and again and again and again. He just didn't care anymore. He gave up. He was fed up. He didn't care how many speeding tickets he got. He just kept getting speeding tickets. Just gave up. Like the 20th time he sees the lights coming behind him, he said, the heck with it. I'm going all out this time. I don't care. I don't care what happens. So he punches it. They're chasing him through the neighborhood. He's taking out fences, trees, runs over a dog, bashes into cars. Just a mess. Finally, he hits a tree, stops him. The cop says, I finally got you. Pulls him out of the car, slams him on the ground. Guy's all hurt, bleeding. Handcuffs him, throws him in the car, takes him to the police station. Book him, throw him in jail. The cop goes to the cell and goes, I finally got you. You weren't going to get away. I don't care how bad your life is, I got you. Any last request? Like we all get, right? Anybody who's been behind the other side? I have. Now I'm on this side. Jesus pulled me this side now so he can use me. Any last request? He asked the guy. Officer in his arrogancy. Guy looks up at him all tore up. Goes, yeah, do I get a phone call? Cop goes, absolutely. Pulls out his own cell phone, throws it at him. Give it back to me. Makes his phone call. Throws it back at him. Cop goes, see you later. Goes to his desk. Proudly starts writing his report. All the damage he caused. I got this guy. I'm glad I got him. About 10 minutes into his report, passing by his desk, here comes that guy with his friend. Walking by and he gets up. Wait a minute. Where are you going? How dare you? You cannot leave here. All the destruction you've caused, all the havoc, the hurt, you cannot leave. His friend turns around, walking out, opening the door for him. He looks at the officer and says, sorry, officer, it's been paid in full. I've paid the bill. It's a perfect example of what Christ has done for us in our lives. All the damage we could have caused and can cause still, God forbid, in the future. His love is profound. We'll never understand or fathom the love of Christ, but we can work at it every day. Love is in us. We just got to work it out. As humans, our nature is always to fire back. We forget about the love that we were created with. So I pulled up this morning, I'm backing up, and I see a little bird picking up sticks. God birthed that in the animals, in their instinct to go make nests. I believe God planted the seed of love in us already. His love is in us. We just got to make it flourish and come out. We got to work at it. Love is not easy, but it clearly says, Jesus is speaking. He says, I command you. He's not asking the Christian. He's not saying, oh, maybe you guys should get along and love each other. No, he's not saying that. He says, I command. This is my commandment to love one another. Love is important in the home. There's many homes that have been thrashed and destroyed by life and trials and even the enemy. Satan has destroyed many homes. There's a very high percentage, years back to date, where over 50% of homes are ran by moms only. There is not a father image in the picture. What's going on here? The enemy's having a field day. I grew up in a rough home myself. Thank God I still have parents. They raised us up the best as they could. But I chose the wrong path. I didn't choose love. I chose hate and anger. And all these angles in life that were fed to me. So we got to keep working on love. And things are going to hit our lives at times. And we're going to forget to react in love. And I'm going to put out a little illustration as I speak. So kind of give you an idea of what love is. And we'll all go through stuff. We'll all want to have different attitudes. But Jesus clearly here is telling us, he's commanding us to love. You know in the Greek Hebrew where it says right here to lay down? I looked it up. Lay down, it's pronounced tithethmi. Tithethmi. You know what that means? Commitment. To serve. We have to have a commitment to love one another. Even our enemies, as Jesus said. Even when we don't want to. We're to serve others. You need to forget about ourselves at times. We forget love. Jesus created us with that seed in us to love one another. We need to keep loving each other. Because in the home, it can get pretty ugly. It can get pretty ugly. Fighting and quarreling. See, it can change. Jesus can change that. I know of a personal experience of a young couple madly in love. True story. Here goes another story. They were madly in love when they saw each other. I know them personally to date. They grew in love, got married, got their house, had a child. The child comes into the world, into their home. And as the child is growing, the couple starts dwindling a little. Forgetting to love each other. Forgetting to work with each other. And as the years went by, they started fighting more. And fighting more. And this child is watching all this take place. As the parents would go off on each other. One of the parents would really try not to argue in front of the child. But the other parent didn't care. Went off. Yelled and screamed. Another parent, come on. Let's go in the car. We'll fight in the park or something. Let's not do it here in front of the kids. Long story short, kid grows up, has a pretty good life, has kids now in their home. But that young person has a very hard heart and is neglected to talk to one of the parents. And you can guess which one. No, it's not the one that was yelling all the time. This is the story. The parent that was trying to be humble and talk nicely and not in front of the kids and fight, just loved on this kid. Never bought him anything. Didn't have the money to buy him something. Just loved on him as he grew. The other parent was just buying him everything. Buying the love. That happens in homes. It's sad to say, and it's not a very easy message. But it's truth for what it is. Take it for face value. So one of the parents is buying the kid as he's growing up, and the other parent's just loving on it. When they came to separate the parents, tore up the kid. So that kid grew up with a very hard heart. Anger, hate, and envy. And it's very difficult to be grown up in that situation. It's not easy. We need to be leaders. Like I said earlier, many homes are without dads, a father image. See, God is a God of order. He has an order of things. The man is the leader of the house. That's biblical. Then the woman, then the kids. But the enemy got smart. He said, if I can keep the woman really busy and keep them separated, I'm in control. Then as the kids are growing, dad has no time. Dad's always busy. Dad leaves home. Maybe goes to prison. The kid has no hope. The daughters want a daddy. The boys want a dad they can go fish with, maybe go throw a ball. Did you know most of the prisoners, 80% of guys that are in prison, I know this from personal experience. I didn't live it, but I know it. I've heard it. I've known the guys. There wasn't a dad image in the home. Mama raised them. Jerry said it last week. Mothers, you got a lot of work. I respect you. I pray for you, mothers. But the dads, men, we need to step up. Guys that are planning to have a girlfriend, you're looking at someone. Well, you better get right with God and learn what love is first in Christ. Then you can love that woman and take care of her and cherish her. The Bible says you'll find a treasure. Because when you guys start living together, some things got to change, guys. Your sock can't just be thrown anywhere anymore. The toilet seat, yep, got to go down. A lot of things. Me and my wife have been together 15 years, and every day something new. You're never there in marriage, you're never there in parenting, and you're never there in younghood. You're growing every day. I know couples that are in their 60s and 70s, family members that are still working out things. And if you use the love of Christ, it gets better. You see, in a home where there is the love of Christ and they're following that commandment that Christ is obligating us to do, that family can open up to each other. They can really easily open up to each other. Like Jerry, myself, I did a lot of youth ministry in the past. And it's hard to talk to your children and tell them this and tell them that. You know what's the easiest way? You open up to them first. Don't ask them what's going on in their lives. You share with them what you're going through. And as the time passes, they're going to open up because you're being transparent with them. How can you get someone to open up with you if you're not transparent? You're not real with your children, with your loved one. You need to be like a transparency seen right through. All of you in this room, well, that have heard me preach before, know my life story. Ex-drug addict, 22 years, saved by the grace of God, transformed, renewed, and worked on every day. Am I perfect? No, I'm being worked on. And Jesus said in all the Beatitudes in Matthew, from 5 all the way to 8, he explained all the morals in the home and in lives and getting along with others. And at the very end, in chapter 7, towards the end of those verses, he says, in all these things, practice them. It takes work. You need to practice that loving people. You see, it's funny. When God created the woman, he instilled the love already for the man, for the husband. That's already in you, and that's not fair because we got to work at it. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We need to work at it, gentlemen. I know it's hitting some of you because it hits me right now. You know, in all the stuff my wife's going through, I've grown to love her more because I spend more time with her now. I even got to feed her, bathe her, clean her. It was awesome. I never realized how much love can grow, even through a trial. That's where love, where God's love works through the hardest times. Let him work in you. My daughter texts me the other Saturday. I'm at work. Daddy, I want to go home. And she's crying. I go, honey, God is working on you. I don't know what you're going through. I'm not God, but you know. You know what you have to tell him. You know what he wants to tell you. He's working on you, honey, and she's just having a hard time. She's not a sit-down little girl. She's a very active young girl, has 3 jobs. I love her dearly. Oh, and by the way, she's my stepdaughter. I have 2 of them. Oh, and on that note, a lot of you maybe might not know this, but a lot of homes on the flip side of not a dad not being in the scene anymore in homes, just moms, on the flip side of that note, you know what else is taking place? There's a lot of stepdads and stepmoms now. And I preach to youth. And this is the first thing a lot of them would say with stepparents. Oh, but he's not my dad. Oh, but he's not my mom. Really? Yeah. What can you tell me about that one, Mr. Pastor Guy? Mr. Youth Pastor? Oh, really? I let him always just let him vomit all over me. It's okay. I got the Holy Spirit to get my back. I might give you a nugget here. You guys might know this already, you biblical scholars. And some of you probably don't. Jesus Christ had a stepdad. Think about it. Jesus Christ had a stepdad. Wait a minute. What do you mean, Frank? Well, who was his real dad? God. So what was Joseph to him? His stepdad. And you, the stepdad, if there's any here, I'm one. And if you're a stepmom in here, they can be your children. You can grow to love them like your own. I'll tell you another personal story. I love being transparent. I have nothing to hide. When I come to know the Lord, my wife came, my kids came, the girls were small. Stephanie and Valerie, they come here sometimes. Sometimes. Pray for them. Then my biological daughter would come over, and guess what Frank would do as a Christian? Segregate. Once my daughter was over my house, I would push them aside. Push them aside and just love on my daughter. And I forget about Valerie and Steph, my 2 daughters, stepdaughters. Until I found out Jesus Christ had a stepdad. Boy, did that impact my life. Boy, did I feel like dirt. Boy, did I feel that small. I said, see, son, you love them like your own. And as hard as it was, and I will not tear up this time. I'm proud to say in the power of the Holy Spirit, I sat them all 3 down. As hard as it was to let my daughter hear these words. Honey, I love you. You're my biological daughter. But you have 2 sisters now, and they have a daddy. That wasn't easy. But once that took place, the home environment, every time she came over, was totally different. It wasn't perfect. There was still chaos and shoes flying around. But the love of Christ, my friends, that love is so important in a home. And you're going to see it. It's going to come out. It's going to flow out. And people struggle with that. They're so busy with self, with their own things in life, and we forget the home environment. We need to work in the home first, because you know what? As humans, as we're growing up, we learn everything in our home. Guess where I learned my first cuss word? In my house. If it wasn't my parents, it was my older brother and sisters. Oh, really? I'm going to write that one down. Guess where I learned about drinking? My home. They partied a lot, had a lot of carne asadas. I always use that one. I was a little kid watching all this in the living room, going outside, dancing. They had bands. My parents were jamming, man. There was always a live Mexican band in the back, cookouts, compadres over, and godfathers and neighbors, and everyone was there. Even the town drunk. He'd join us. My parents' house was a party house. I grew up in all that. So I started growing up watching all this. Then I started learning about lying, cheating, envying, hating. It goes on and on and on. And it's not easy, and we got to work at it. Jesus says, I command you. I command you. Love is not an easy thing to practice. Love is a very powerful word. It needs to be worked on, especially men. I'm glad we're starting this porn series. Even if you're not a dick or anything, we need to learn. We need to fight back what the enemy's trying to take. We need to love on our wives. We need to love on our kids. It's God, your family, and then whatever else. Your home is second. Your wife and your kids, men. And I speak from experience because I was the last guy to care about getting home or hugging on my children. Now I hug everyone. I like hugging. There's a lot of words in there. You don't have to say nothing. What's up? A lot of words behind a hug. Love is noticeable. There's a lot of people walking around today, and it looks like they just bit into a lemon. Their faces all scrunched up. Where do all these battles come from? Why do we fight so much? Why does it happen? Their fault. It's always them. Wasn't me. It's always someone else's fault other than yours. You ever thought about that? It wasn't me. Things happen at work with my friends, and they'll break a line. Oh, the other driver before me had this truck. Wasn't me. Where do they come from? Why do we fight so much? What does our next slide say? Can we switch it up real quick, please? Let's find out. Look at where, this is a good scripture to tie to. James 4:1, write it down, read the whole chapter tonight. This is where it mostly comes from. James 4:1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Do they not come from what? From what? From that word. Yeah, yours. That's talking to us. So you mean there's something in me I want to get and I can't? Ooh, I dare you not to let me have it. I'm going to get it. I don't care what you think. That's where you battle. You know what? Just give in. Let it go. Let it happen. Give it to the other side. There's a lot of times I don't agree with my wife, but I go ahead and go. And 80%, tell her I said this, she's not here. 80% of the time, she's right. And I'm like, gosh, I'm glad I listened to her. I'm so glad I did what she told me. My truck's been having problems driving to work. She kept telling me, take the van. Three times I broke down going to work. So finally, the hard head got it. Start taking the van. Husbands, listen to your wives. They're right most of the time. Biblically, God gave man the strength and the woman the brains. My wife handles all the bills because I blow all the money. Where's the bills? I don't know. Where's the money? I bought all this stuff over here. That's biblical. You got an argument? Look it up. Don't ask me. Ask me later so I can study it and look for it. But it is there. Love is so important. We need to work at it. It's a commitment. It's a position. It's persevering. If you go on reading after that verse in verse 2 of James 4, it says it's because you can't get what you want because you're asking with the wrong motives, verse 3. You got to read the rest of that chapter tonight. Write it down. It's all there. I like what I heard the other day here at Remnant, and this is for you. whoever you were. And I said, in the love of Christ. Oh, yeah. There's no I in home. I heard it up here. But someone else answered and said, yeah, but there's me. But it's not about you in the home. That one's for you, just for free. It's not about you in the home. It's a team. Look at the second word. It's a team effort. I never seen one quarterback come against a whole team and win the game. Takes his team to block for him. Takes the guy to catch the ball. It's teamwork, guys. And when one of the family members is down a little bit, with the other love encouraging through the others in the family, they'll lift them back up. Sometimes there's a family member that just distorts things, you know what I mean? I like what my friend Andy back there told me one day. We all have that uncle that no one kind of likes, no one wants around. Well, that's the one God loves. That's the one God once worked on. That's the one we need to be meeting with, hanging out with, showing the love of Christ. See, and when we go through all these emotions and feelings, that's what the world has fed us. That it's all about emotions and feelings. And then the walls come up. How can you converse with the one you love with walls like this? Just see their neck. Would you like to see your partner's neck only? Hi, how you doing? Good. You want to sit down with them. Be real. Open up. Hold their hand. Hug your children. Hug your wife. Kiss her. But when their walls are up, it's not going to happen. A lot of us go through these. And there's more. There's more stuff. I didn't have enough boxes. I would have covered this whole wall, I think. But see, this is of the world. We need to love. Love is important, guys. It means commitment in the Greek Hebrew. You got to go back and dissect it. What is it really saying? Some of you I know like to study God's word. Take every word, the main theme of Scripture. Look up quarrels. Look up words, and it'll speak to you volumes. I didn't know this till I studied it on laying down. I thought it meant just lay down, go to sleep. I can do that. Hold on, I'll be mad at you later. Hold on, I am mad right now. Hold on, I'm jealous right now. I don't want to talk to you. Some of us have a loved one, a family member, a co-worker. Oh, it's just pulling at that little hair that hurts. Oh. We laugh because it's true. I laugh because it's true at work. This one man, he's just persistent on me to say the F word. And I laugh. I go, no, you say it like this. But you know what it is? I figured it out. First of all, he doesn't know Jesus. Doesn't know God. And he has a lot of pride. A lot of pride. Men, we struggle with pride because we want to be the best. The best of the best. No, you need to be humble and soft-hearted. Christ was humble and soft-hearted. He loved people. He gave them attention. He stopped to talk to people. He stopped to help people. He went out of his way. No, he didn't. Lazarus died. He was some days late. Wrong. How could he show his power? He rose him up. And you know why he said his name? Because if he said, just rise, all the dead people would have got up out of that cave. That's how powerful God is. See, you're going to go through stuff. But love covers it all, the Bible says. You're going to be facing stuff. But that's where God's power shines, friends. Let it just flow like a river. Don't become a little lake and stale and smelly. That's why the rivers move. Water's moving. Stuff is moving. Don't hinder your prayers like a little pond of water with moss and rot in there. Think Randy can relay with me and Andy what water can do just sitting there. Bugs come in, moss, and talk to Randy later. He'll tell you the rest, the real stuff. The Bible says to be like flowing rivers, rivers of flowing water. That's the Holy Spirit that'll move through you. And you practice that love. It's not easy. It never will. Christ said, in this world you'll have trouble. Hello? I can think of Paul. Every city he went to, he got beat. It's love. It's love. It's love. God loves you. He wants to birth a new love in you for whatever you're facing. First of all, personally, I wanted to give up on God and all I've gone through in a month and a half. And I smiled because of Christ. And I smiled because God's going to get the glory, not me. It's not about me with that home, me in the home. It's about Jesus living in this home. In this home. He lives in your heart. And he's cleaning up your act. And mine's as well. It's like a dentist appointment. I come up with weird analogies, don't I? First of all, you got to go to a stranger, open your mouth. Did you make sure you brush your teeth? Your breath don't stink. And then they need a lot of onions. And they stick stuff in your mouth. But they got to take all the rotting out, pull teeth out, drill. And they start working on your tooth. That little machine. Oh, I hate that little. I hate the sound alone. Oh. But that's the work it's going to take for that love to flourish and come out and flow like a river. Because if you're here, this is where you'll be at. You'll never get out of there. Love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says. It's love. The next slide so they can get it. It's love, guys. It's love, love, love. It's a team. You're in a home. Fight for it. Work at it. Pray for each other. I've been praying for my daughter constantly. And she texts me crying, Daddy, I want to go. Sorry, honey. I love you, but God loves you more. I text her with all the loving words a dad can give his daughter. And at the very end, I go, honey, now imagine how much more Christ loves you. You know what she answered me back? She goes, thanks, I love you. You better stop now because I'm crying. Now I'm really crying. I go, God is talking to you, honey. God is working in you right now, friends. He's instilling something. And he wants to birth that love. Because Jesus knows that a home that doesn't function in the love of Christ, there will be problems, there will be awful situations, and you won't be able to confront them. You're going to want to take them on yourself, and you're just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And Christ is reaching in, trying to pull us out all the time. You ever wonder why a shepherd has a staff with a hook on it? You know what that hook's for? Some of you might know. When the sheep would go over the cliff and stuck at the edge down there, the shepherd would just hook them and bring them back. That's what that staff represented. Jesus Christ, he wants to hook you out and give you love and teach you. And that little lamb that keeps going out of the flock, living this, he finally has to pick that little lamb up that keeps getting out of the flock, wanting to do his own lamb things. They have to snap their little leg and carry him till he heals. The shepherd does that. Read a book. I read it. He breaks the little leg and carries it till it's healed. Once he knows it's fine, he puts it down. He doesn't pay attention to it. Everywhere the shepherd walks, that sheep's right there. Not only knows his voice, but he knows how he smells. Did you know you have the fragrance of Christ? You have the fragrance of the living God, the creator of all. And we can sit here and say, I don't know how to love that person. I don't have the audacity to have that thought anymore. Shame on me. Especially if I'm going to be up here preaching. You'll have no effect on people. Frank, how you go through all you're going through? Jesus Christ. And I smile. How can you put up all that? Jesus Christ. The guys at work, dude, how can you put up with that guy? Jesus Christ. How'd they put you in that office? Jesus Christ. I honestly say that all the time. I give God the glory. It's nothing I can't do. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. His love endures forever. We'll be in the courts of God one day. Better is one day than thousands elsewhere. Better is where in his courts, his presence. But we need to practice that love. Friends, it's love, love, love. Agape love, unconditional love. Don't second think stuff. If you love them, you'll go out of your way for them. Just like the guy in the beginning of the story that made a mess and all those accidents, and his friend came and bailed him out. He bailed him out. You see, Jesus did all this for only one reason. His love is just immense, and there was a big price paid because he loves us so much. He wanted us to understand and learn how much he loves us and how much he can change a home and put everything behind us. So you got to give it to him. It wasn't a little price paid. It wasn't just a scratch on his back. That's how ugly our sins were and can be. But see, if you give it to God, trust Him. I got to talk about my daughter. I told her I was, so tell her that I did. Honey, talk with God. Laying there in that hospital bed. I know you're alone a lot. Talk with God. Daddy, but I don't want to be alone. You're not alone. Jesus is there. He's whispering in your ear, honey. Talk to Him. He wants you to talk to Him. Okay, Dad. Okay, Daddy. The father image is so important. I was sharing with Andy earlier, we have a lady that lives behind us, a single lady with a teenage son. The man figure is so important. And it's not that we're intimidating, because that creates fear. And fear just shames people. You fear people into doing things. If you're still doing such, I'm going to punish you. And then there's homes that probably, it's an unwritten creed in American homes, I could say, that would say something like, let me see, how can I put this word to work? If you want someone to do good and be good, make them feel shameful themselves. That's what a lot of homes do. You put shame into your kids and that won't work. It's got to be love. You got to love them. Just like that couple, that one parent that just loved on that child, and that child never wanted to leave that parent because all he gave him was love. Not money, not things, love. And there's the price. It's important. God's love is important in the home. God sets standards and morals for marriage and parents and dads and moms. That's the greatest news I have this morning, that Christ can change your home. Christ can change your environment in your house. And you're that tool, be it a parent or be it a student in this room. You are the light in your house right now. If you're in this building and you call yourself a Christian, you are the light in that home. You are to lead that home in the love of Christ. Read, also write this one down. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How do I do it, Frank? What kind of love am I supposed to use? Start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 11, right around in there. You'll get it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to about 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 right through 11. I'll share the first words in verse 4. It says this. A lot of translations, but I like this one. It says, love is patient. It says it all. Love is patient. Guys, looking for a girlfriend? Hold on. Keep your hands off. Be patient, man. Trust me, I lived it. I made bad choices. Wait. Parents, be patient with your kids. Kids, be patient with your parents. It's hard being a parent. Jerry said it all. He nailed it. You know, when Jerry preached last week, I ran up to him. I couldn't let him get away from me. I said, Jerry, from the minute you started, all the way about halfway point in your sermon, two nights ago, we were talking to our daughters about the very same thing, everything Jerry said. And I don't talk to Jerry. When do I see you, Jerry? Never. Here. I see Jerry here. That's it. So once in a while, we'll Twitter. That's it. He said, everything I had shared, me and my wife talked to my daughters about. Isn't that powerful? That's God speaking. Sometimes I say, how does God talk? Well, listen to everything you hear at work, when you're asleep, watching the TV. God is always speaking. There's something being said. The Bible says He's screaming out to His people. The Bible says in the last days we need to be crying out to God, mourning and crying and praying. We're too busy sometimes. And love will take you there. It's the gospel to me, it's like food. If I don't get on my knees during the day somewhere, if I don't pray in the morning, I got to find a place to pray. That's why at work I go behind the pallet sometimes and hide in the warehouse. I need to get alone with my lover. Jesus is the lover of our souls. He loves you. He loves your soul. People can't love souls. We just love the flesh. He loves your soul. He's a soul seeker. That's some deep love. It's not about words and feelings and emotions. It's action. Christ came down in action. He said, yeah, Daddy, I'll go down there and do that for them. That's laying down. He put everything aside. He took off His glory of the crown, His glory of His robe, and His power and His majesty. He was willing to come down here in that love to give it to us so we can be with Him one day. That's the love. Can we practice that love, Christians? Can we practice at least? I didn't become a drummer overnight. It took me years of practice, and I still need work. Pray for me. I want to be a better drummer. I don't care what you guys think. There's more. So is it with love. Love grows and grows and grows. It can grow. And your hunger will grow for Christ if you stay in His Word. if you believe what it says. And like he said in the last scripture I put up, this is my commandment. I'm telling you, please love one another. Jesus is telling us, commanding us, please make the commitment. I did. I just want to give you eternal life. That's all. I want your home to be blessed, your children to be happy, not running around with a lemon face as well, yelling back at you. That's so popular right now. Kids talking, yelling back at their parents. Oh, man, that if anything burns me up, I got to stand there and smile with a cracked face. I wish I could talk to this kid alone. Like Jerry, I'd forget to lay hands and knock him out, however he says it. I got upset, sorry. But in love is so important, friends. My commandment. This is my commandment. Love one another. So as the worship team comes up, I don't know where you're at. I know where I'm at. I need God's love. I need help for my wife. I need patience. I want my love to grow more for my wife. I want love to grow more for my kids. I want love to grow more for my friends at work. Get this. I want my love to grow more for my enemies because you have some. Pray for them. You'll see the change. I say it all the time I'm up here. There's a guy that works the scales where I work, and he'll let me tell him, and he'll sit here and let me say this all the time. He did not like me my first 2 weeks. He said, this guy ain't going to make it. I hope he gets fired. He's my best help, my best friend. He brings me food, and we just get along. Because when you give love, love's going to grow in that person. But don't give up. It's not going to happen overnight. Trust me, I did some fasting and praying for that guy to love me. Didn't happen overnight. I've been there 8 months, and we're pretty good buds now. He takes phone calls for me. He'll go out there in the warehouse, and he's kind of on the heavy side, and it's hot outside. He'll go in that warehouse in the love God gave me to share with him and get on that forklift and sweat for me and load that forklift, the pallets for me. And I get back, and hey, dude, who load? I did, bro, I did. I got it, Frank. And he goes back to the phones. Love be God's love, friends. Love be God's love. It's important. Let's pray.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You